Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Joshua Davidson is an entrepreneur, speaker, and startup advisor. He's somebody that genuinely wants you to live your best life and do more and be more and see more and go hard. He's like one of those super motivational Nike ads. That's the vibe I get from this guy. He's written a piece on Medium.com. It's called If You're Going to Do Something, Go All In. He joins us now live from where exactly in the world? Where are you, Joshua, at this 5 minutes to five Central African time zone thing?
Yeah, no, I'm in Philadelphia right now, City of Brotherly Love. It's currently 10:52 a.m. here.
Fantastic. Listen, dude, your story reads like one who wants to empower and uplift other people. I mean, that is kind of the overarching theme in terms of what you do every day, right?
No, that's pretty much the way I live my life is trying to, A, go all in, as the article suggests, right? But also trying to get other people to do that through my company, through my speak around the world, through being on awesome radio shows like this.
So let's angle it in this way. And with a guy like you, I feel like I can, before we get into the specifics of your piece on Medium.com, what is your philosophy on this whole life thing? I mean, it's a loaded question, but what's the point of this time between being born and dying, Josh?
It's about living, right? So, I mean, that's really, if you break it down to its most simplistic core, it's just my belief that most people just go day to day in this normal grind and life kind of just happens, right? And my belief is, like, think about how amazing of the world we live in right now and how everything around us is created by people, and that this is our chance to actually, like, go and make your own impact, like, make a difference. And it doesn't matter if you could be an artist, you can be an entrepreneur, an athlete, someone just wants to give back to nonprofits or charities, right? But the idea is, like, we are here for a reason. We only have a finite amount of time. So let's leverage that so we can give the most disproportionate amount of value during our time here using what we love to do and what we're most passionate about.
See, I always wonder what it is that happens between being a kid and being that version of yourself that thinks that they can go to the moon and be a firefighter and, like, start a billion-dollar company and all of that. And what happens when we grow up? Some kind of conditioning happens at some point along the way where we stop going all in, and we decide that it's actually easier to do something that, in inverted commas, is comfortable and more socially acceptable, and that consistently breaking the mold, or having the courage to consistently breaking the mold, that requires, like, a lot of balls. And I just don't know how we get better at consistently pushing ourselves in those directions.
So right off the bat, I think it's because the construct of fear of failure, right? I think that a lot of people are truly just afraid to go beyond the social norms of what society's kind of built for us. And it doesn't matter where in the world you are, everyone has their own society norms. And you're kind of born and raised like, here's the rules, here's your box, don't go through this box, and just go day to day and go work, go make money, go and consume a lot of things, have kids, have a family, get old, and then die, right? And the idea, though, is it's just I'm very fortunate. I kind of grew up when I was younger and realized early on, like, holy crap, like, everything around us is absolutely incredible, and everything is created by people. Mm. And we were able to leave our own mark. And when you start realizing that you don't have to kind of play by, quote unquote, the rules of what society tells us, but you can kind of mold it to more of what you love to do and what you're passionate about, it just gives you endless potential. And one of the things that I'm very, very, very lucky is I get to work with entrepreneurs every day, right? If there's anything you think of someone who is truly just crafting their own image, him or her, is going to be an entrepreneur, right? And then you can work with artists and musicians. And I mean, even you can even go to radio, like here, like how break off the norm and do something different. And the coolest thing I think about society, and I'm sure you can probably figure this out, like anyone listening to this as well, is a lot of times when you do something different, but you do it exceptionally well, don't people flock to that? Don't they adopt that? And they're like, this is amazing. I mean, think about some of, like, the top, like, musicians out there, the top music. It's like, think of architecture, things of that nature. It's, you kind of just have to bold and be yourself and just go all into that mentality of, I'm going to be the best person that I can be the healthiest person I can be the happiest that I can be. And I think we owe it to ourselves to do that.
And you speak about this quite a bit in the piece, If You're Going to Do Something, Go All In, which is your piece on Medium.com. But finding your lane, like that process, getting better at that, like the honest conversation you have to have with yourself when you look in the mirror, being, you know, not a jack of all trades, master of none, but to be a master of something, and to also believe that you are going to be the best at something. Talk to me about that mental conditioning.
So, number one, and I tell this all the time to people, is we're all naturally talented at certain things, right? I mean, it's just the reality is you're not going to be talented at everything. If I go today to go play a professional sport, I'm not going to become a professional athlete, right? That's not happening. So a lot of times what you need to do is self-awareness. What are you truly passionate about? And people do have passions. A lot of times people try to hide it to go for the day-to-day grind, but everyone truly does. I mean, every person's different. And then a lot of times you often find what you're passionate about is also something you're probably very good at. And if you realize – if you put in the work, if you go and focus on becoming the best at what you can do there and become one of those top performing individuals in that whatever it might be that you're just passionate about and you have that natural talent for, you're going to, odds are, be one of the best in the world. And that's how, if you look at some of the best athletes in the world, the best musicians in the world, the best artists in the world, the best designers in the world, it's because they figured out what they're great at. They knew they had a natural talent, and you need that piece, and that's one piece you can't control. And then they go all in, right? And that's kind of what I wrote about my piece here, is like, you have to also put in the work, because you can't just naturally expect to just be the number one person in the world at something if you don't go and put yourself through that rigorous testing of practicing and molding your craft and learning and understanding the environment you're in and how to leverage that. So there's a lot of multiple kind of pieces involved that you have to kind of apply in order to become that top performing individual doing what you're truly passionate about.
Absolutely. And that's hard to do. It's like, it's in, and also like the amount of experimentation that takes in terms of doing new things and trying new things and getting out of that comfort zone and, you know, going according to what society has said that you should and shouldn't do. I really like this line in the piece that says, embrace every day as if you are the best at what you do, because so much of it is rooted in believing that you are the most shit-hot person at what this specific thing is.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you ever heard of the saying, fake it till you make it?
Yeah, dude.
I think there's actually a lot of truth to that. If you live your life as if you're the top performing in your industry, it's going to catch up to you. For example, my day-to-day job is I run my own company. I'm living my life running my company, literally, from my strict wake-up schedule, the way I just treat myself to be healthy and be fit and be energized, to the content I'm producing every day, to the amount of market research I'm doing, to the amount of time spending with my customers, to the amount of time challenging myself and how I can improve, how I can be a better leader, a better thought leader, a better boss, a better manager, run a better company. If you put through the same rigorous testing, and as well just by human DNA a little bit here, is if you can get into a routine, right? We're creatures of habit. Mm. And you can get into that, everything's going to catch up to you. You're putting in the work, and work's going to give you that result from it. And it does take time. It's kind of like – it's almost a great example is compound interest, right? Mm. The idea is like you can put in a dollar a day. It's not going to add up much. But if you keep doing that over and over time, you're going to accumulate a lot of money, right? It's just – it's naturally going to happen. Or it's like losing weight. If you're trying to lose 25 pounds, you're not going to lose 25 pounds tomorrow, but if you can lose half a pound a week, it's going to add up quickly. It's just in that 1 week time span, it doesn't feel like it. And that's the way you have to approach it, is people also need to think long term, right? And when you say long term, how many people you say, what are you going to be doing long term? They're telling you what they plan to do a year from now. That's not long term at all. In fact, I can't believe it's already August, right? That's crazy to me. It felt like last August just happened.
Yeah.
You know, you need to think long term. You need to think 10, 20, 30 years. And that's the way you need to basically reverse engineer where you want to go, how you want to get there over the course of that substantial period of time.
Hmm. What role does following your gut play in all of this?
So what was the question? Sorry about that.
What role does following your gut and following your heart play in all of this?
So I'm a half and half person here. What I mean by this is, and it's not like coffee. Basically, what I try to do is half of it has to be my gut. What I just truly do believe, my intuition, because my intuition has truly never steered me wrong, right? And I think we all have this like natural compass in us. But I'm also a big believer in data. And this is one of the harder things to get into, but using data, like actually being able to track some form of statistic to see where you're going. Because a lot of times your intuition and data will be aligned. And every now and then that it's not, it either means that you're not being self-aware enough and you need to take time to really understand that, or the data is skewed. And how is that happening? Like, why is the data not telling how you're feeling? So it's kind of a half and half intake. And when I say data, again, it can relate to anything. It can be like amount of revenue or amount of money you're personally earning, or it can be how much more muscle you've added in pounds or in kilograms, right? Or in or how much weight you're losing, right? It's the idea is you need to have identifiable metrics in order to use data, or else you're just collecting data for the sake of collecting data.
I love that you mentioned being self-aware and channeling, you know, your gut, and also channeling the data and, you know, the logical side of things. So making the head and the heart sort of work together. I mean, being self-aware would enable you to do that in a very objective way. When I speak about being self-aware, what is it that that means to you, and how does being self-aware manifest in your context?
So the number one thing, and it's the hardest thing in the world, is you have to be honest with yourself. And this is, to me, is one of the hardest things that we as everyone have kind of design flaw. Because we automatically look at ourselves with like rose-colored glasses, right? It's just the reality, and you have to get out of that habit. You have to be constructive to yourself. But here's the thing is you can also go too much in the deep end and just become like a pessimist on yourself and just criticize everything about you. And that's, you know, you've gone way overboard at that point. Like then you're forcing a very negative habit there. You need to find that middle ground. So that's number one when it comes to self-awareness is you have to be honest to yourself, but you also have to maintain a realistic expectation, right? And it's an exercise. And if I told you, for most people who've never done this before, start doing it today, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of practice. I try to do this every single morning when I wake up. I try to just be very self-aware about my surroundings, like where am I in my life? Who am I impacting? How am I lucky? What could be causing stresses to me right now, and how can I address those? You know, what is it that I need to take care of, and how can I improve? And the idea is like every night when you go to bed, you did something to at least be a little bit better than you were the day before, and it's going to add up, right? And that's kind of the mentality you need to have. So, you know, that's kind of the way I highly recommend for anyone is like you can't be self-aware overnight. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of practice. And one other thing, which is probably the hardest thing in the world, is understanding yourself and your own motivations. Because, again, kind of back to the beginning of this conversation, how much of us are motivated by things that we're truly – it's more of society trying to tell us what we should be motivated versus what truly we want to need, right? Like what are our true needs, like our true desires? And it takes time. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of effort. And you really got to be consistent with it, or it's going – or you're never going to truly fully take advantage of – ourselves and what we truly care about.
Sure, you're giving me a lot of food for thought here, and certainly a lot of things to think about. I think, you know, with everything that we've spoken kind of in mind, when it comes to measuring where one's at and sort of doing a stock take on how well are you doing in your personal life, in your private life, are you living your best life, are you being true to yourself, like that's a sort of, I don't know, metric. What metric do you use to kind of figure out if you are on the right track or you aren't?
So, for example, with me, let's talk. This is just my personal example, and it's going to be different for everyone else. I care about a few things. I care about, am I producing results for the clients I work with at my company? Is my company growing for revenue? Am I growing my team and making sure they're being compensated more than fairly and that they're happy? Is my work-life balance, like, even? Am I spending enough time with my parents, with my girlfriend? Am I spending enough time not just working but also enjoying life? Fitness-wise, am I healthy? Like, how's my blood pressure? How is my sleep? How much muscle do I have? How much, you know, how fast can I run the mile? So I collect a bunch of different metrics, but they're aligned to my motivations. So my motivations right now is I want to run one of the largest companies in the world that helps make a difference for those that are trying to build mobile apps, web apps, wearable apps. I'm trying to be the most healthy, fit person that I can be because, A, I just feel better when I am. B, it does help with the ego, and your ego is a part of what drives you, and there's nothing wrong with that. And C, I just want to be healthy as I get older, right? I don't want to be in a situation where you start 50, 60, 70, 80, and your healthcare costs are through the roof, and you just feel like crap all the time. And I just want to have the most well-rounded family because, to me, that's like what's most important, right? Your family and friends, and just being able to truly make bonds and memories and be there for them. So those are the things that impact me. that relate to me and what motivates me and what drives me. And if you notice, they're not mutually exclusive either. That's one of the big things. Like, my business goals can go into my personal goals, which can go into my health goals. And oftentimes that's going to be the case for anyone too, is there nothing's truly mutually exclusive.
Mm. Very, very interesting. Running out of time, so I got to get the big takeaway points here. The three most important things that we need to walk away from this conversation thinking about or having learned.
Number one is you need to be true to yourself, right? You need to be real. You need to understand yourself. So that's number one, is take time to be self-aware. Two, identify true goals that align to your motivations. Like, and don't come up with, I want to lose weight or something generic, but actually identify, I want to be in this position, and come up with a realistic timetable from it. And then three, and this is probably the most important of all, and circle this one, right? Consistency. Because telling me, hey, I did this for a week, I didn't see results, is BS. You need to be putting in work nonstop in order to see the results from it. It doesn't happen overnight.
Power. You got to be true to yourself. You got to identify goals in line with what's motivating you, and you got to be consistent in whatever it is you do. This has been a really powerful chat. Well done, dude. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. You're my first international live interview.
It's very cool. You've got your own podcast going on. It's called The Podcast. It's on iTunes. Tell me a little bit more about that before we wrap this up.
Yeah, so we just interview some of the most brilliant entrepreneurs, artists, creators in the world, and pretty much reverse engineer them. Try to identify what makes them tick, their stories of how they became who they became, and then kind of come up with practical advice so us as day-to-day people can understand, all right, I can take something out of their playbook and put it into my own life. And, you know, we're a little over 20 episodes deep. We've had some of the founding team from like Google to like professional NFL teams here in the United States to just music video producers to some of the top investors, and basically just basically reverse engineering their lives and just trying to figure out what makes them tick and how we can adopt that into our own lives.
Power, and I just I'm following you on Snapchat. You've been Snapchatting this whole interview.
Hell yeah. So it's all about content, man.
I dig
content,
it, bro.
Content.
I dig it. Yeah, Auto Trader ads. You heard our Auto Trader ad just before you. I saw you Snapchat that now.
That was awesome, man. I don't hear international ads often.
Fantastic. Joshua Davidson, thank you so, so much. The article is on medium.com. It's called, If You're Gonna Do Something, Go All In. You gotta be true to yourself. You gotta identify goals that are in line with what's motivating you. And you know what? You have to be consistent. Joshua Davidson, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much for having me.
Power, there you go. He's the founder and CEO of ChopDog.com. He's the co-host of the Podcast on iTunes. There's like a dog theme going on there. He builds apps. He helps grow companies. He is a rock star. He's Joshua Davidson. You can find him on Snapchat as well. There you go. Very, very cool. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.